Flu for dogs is similar to flu for people. Fever, cough, runny nose, loss of appetite, and it spreads just as easily. When it first appeared over a year ago, the H3N2 flu strain took many by surprise when it rapidly spread through the Midwest. But this year, there's a weapon to fight it. Merck has developed a vaccine for H3N2. Last year, many dogs in the area were impacted by this flu because ground zero for H3N2 was Chicago. Dr. Matt Fraker from the Prairie Oak Veterinary Center in Normal says while the initial blast of this flu was hard, it seems to be settling down.
These novel influenza viruses show up. There tends to be a little bit of a freak out by the medical field, too. And then usually a maintained freak out by the general population while the medical field says, okay, we figured it out and it's all okay, everything's going to be okay. But generalizing this H3N2 Chicago influenza seemed to cause milder disease than the H3N8 that hit Florida first, which I think was in 2008. The Florida influenza has been around for quite a while now. And we haven't had, to my knowledge, I don't think we've had a Florida strain situation in our community, but we had a major Chicago strain outbreak in the last year.
So how many dogs did you see coming into the clinic?
Oh, I don't know. I just remember that place was very unhappy during that outbreak. There's just a steady stream of, because we can't let these animals in unless they're sick, so we're throwing on new gear, going out into the parking lot to examine every animal.
Because if you bring it into the clinic, they can spread it to the animals
that
are there.
Yes, highly contagious, and really once this stuff, the great threat of all influenza viruses, not just canine influenza, but human influenza, avian influenza, is the fact that it becomes infectious before it makes you sick. So you can feel great a day or two before you start realizing you have the flu. And during those couple of days that you feel great, you're giving flu to other people. And the dogs are doing the same thing. So that's what's really insidious about this. There's this subpopulation of dogs that either haven't become ill yet who are contagious, or there's a subpopulation of dogs with both of these strains who really do mount an appropriate response and don't really get sick at all. But they are a vector for spreading the disease.
Once a dog gets this H3N2, is that dog immune to it forever?
I don't know if we have really figured that out. At this point, I believe our vaccine recommendations are to maintain them annually until we know more about that. Do not suspect that the viral vaccines cross-protect. We're not real fond of jumping into new vaccine strategies without really knowing that, A, the vaccine has proven itself a little bit out in the field, because there have been multiple vaccine products that were failures or really weren't doing the protection that they promoted that they were doing. We tend to be conservative with new vaccine options, and we had not seen any of this virus come into the community. But once it came in, most of the experts said, hey, you know what? Even if all you're getting is Chicago positives, just vaccinate for both. Just cross-vaccinate for both. And so now we're doing more history. The Chicago strain will pop up again. It made it here once. It will definitely make it back. I don't know if the Florida strain will get here or not. But it's not a bad idea now to, when you're taking your pet in for annual visits, or if your dog, particularly dog, has a lot of time in a doggy daycare, or having to board or kennel, frequent groomings.
Or if you like to go to the dog park?
Dog park, yes. I mean, anything, just common sense dog-dog access. Then it's probably not a bad idea to really think about getting these vaccines on board.
Are there possibilities of reactions to the vaccine?
There's always possibilities of vaccine reactions, and by and large, the vast majority of those, and they're quite rare, are mostly Benadryl responsive reactions.
Okay.
They're inconveniences. We haven't used a whole lot of the newer H3N2 and H3N8 vaccines yet, but to my knowledge, we have not had any problems that made us fearful of, oh my gosh. And there's a reporting protocol for vaccine reactions also, and no one has said a word about these things having a problem.
Matt, what's the mortality rate with this flu?
It's higher than it is with the routine quote unquote kennel cough that we know and have had in the community forever. It's under 10%, which sounds scary to some people and sounds really good to others. We did have a couple of animals that we know, not in our clinic, but in the community, we do believe that we did have some losses to the Chicago flu virus. All we know is that in the cycle of that flu outbreak, dogs that were sick from it did pass away here, someplace here and there, but we don't know anything about what the treatment was, what the initial diagnostics were, if perhaps the wrong tree was barked up initially, so to speak. And now we see that there seems to be a mild illness and there seems to be a more aggressive illness. And it was pretty quick. Fever was one of the things that made a difference. Dogs that were coughing and hacking, but their temperatures were normal, did fine. And they might be coughing and hacking for 10, 20, 30 days.
Wow.
Keep in mind, this stuff can really hang in there where animals aren't getting better, but they're not getting worse. And the more aggressive form of the disease tended to blow up a little bit faster. These animals that have fevers really look horrible. And those are the ones that we were a little bit more aggressive and proactive on, or would hospitalize if we had to, which is a nightmare situation, obviously, because of how contagious the disease is.
And you have to give them fluids?
Yes, rehydrate. They're really the important supportive things. You know, Tamiflu does work on these guys. If you
you can use Tamiflu on a dog?
But you have to get it early, and that's a real little window between, because they have influenza for a little bit, then they get sick, and then there's this period of time where people decide if they're going to seek out medical care or not. Once you miss that window, and more commonly, it's just a matter of support of care, which is definitely rehydrating, doing everything possible to keep nutrition on board. If we suspected secondary bacterial infection, which can get in on these guys pretty easy, the lungs, once they get a little bit beat up, they're pretty easy to get oral bacteria and just breathe stuff down in there. So we would do antibiotics on a lot of the sicker animals. It's really hard to deal with the pure viral dogs that come in that aren't that sick. Do you just throw antibiotics on board or do you try to ride it out? That really is a judgment call. It's left up to the veterinarian. There's pros and cons on both.
Well, since this can be so, so easily transmitted from dog to dog, Matt, do you feel it's something maybe municipalities ought to consider shutting down the dog parks during flu season?
I don't know. We did get through the last outbreak, and I think it's a situation where less closing down actions or any sort of actions against dog parks or private kenneling facilities and more public awareness. Just hey, you know, if this stuff is blowing up like it did last time, everyone go home. Stay out of the, don't board your dog. Don't go to parks. If you really need your animal to get groomed, speak to those groomers, because keep in mind, there again, a grooming business may say, we haven't seen any sick animals. Well, you might have had a dog in there that 2 days later became ill. So you're going to have some risk factors. But certainly avoidance would be the rule once we know we have this stuff out and rolling. When this stuff came in, it was a catastrophe. We had so many sick dogs, and we put the word out on our social media. I think really it's just an owner awareness situation. Your dog's exercise can wait for a couple months while the storm blows through when it comes in.
That's Dr. Matt Fraker from the Prairie Oak Veterinary Center in Normal. While there's no evidence that humans can catch H3N2, it's possible, though rare, that the flu can be picked up by cats. So Fraker says, get your dog vaccinated before the flu season hits. While you'll want to keep the flu at bay, there's a chance you'll want to welcome to your home the Animal House Pets of the Week. It's Molly and Danny. This bonded pair of dogs are hoping to find a home that will take them both together. Molly is a 4-year-old female Shih Tzu, and Danny is a 5-year-old female Boston Terrier. Like Peanut Butter and Jelly, Abbott and Costello, and Kirk and Spock, these two belong together, and they're hoping to expand their duo to include you. You can find Molly and Danny together at Wishbone Canine Rescue in Bloomington. I'm Laura Kennedy.